Christmas Eve by Nikolai Gogol. Narrated by Trevor O'Hare. The last day before Christmas had passed, wintry, lucid night had arrived. The stars looked out. The stately moon rose in the sky to shine for good people in the whole world, so that everyone might be gay and sing carols praising Christ. The frost was sharper than in the morning, but everything was so quiet that its crunching under the boot could be heard half a versta away. No gathering of young men yet appeared beneath the windows of the houses. Only the moon peeped into them stealthily, as it tempting the girls to hurry with their dressing up and run out onto the creaking snow. From the chimney of one house, a column of smoke arose and spread in a cloud over the sky, and with the smoke rose a witch riding on a broomstick. If the assessor from Surachinsky had been passing at the time, driven by all three horses, wearing his lancer-like cap with a sheepskin band, and his blue coat lined with sheepskin, with his whip devised by the devil which he uses to urge on his driver, then he would surely have noticed her, for there's not a witch in the whole world that can escape from the Sorochinsky assessor. He can remember the number of piglets the peasant woman's pig delivered, how much linen lies in her trunk, and exactly what piece of his clothing or of his household goods a citizen will pawn in the tavern on Sunday. But the Sorochinsky assessor was not traveling by, and after all, what business of his are strangers? He has his own district. Meanwhile, the witch had risen so high that she flashed by above like a mere black speck. But wherever the black speck appeared, there the stars, one after the other, disappeared from the sky. Soon the witch had collected a sleeve full of them. Three or four still sparkled. Suddenly, from the opposite direction, another speck appeared. It grew, began to expand, it was no longer a speck. A short-sighted Mar, even had he put on his nose the wheels of the commissar's carriage instead of spectacles, still could not have discerned what it was. In front of it looked exactly like a German. The tip of its small, narrow snout, which turned about incessantly sniffing everything it came across, was round like a pig's. Its legs were so thin that, if the mayor of Jaroskovsk had possessed such, he would have broken them during the first Kezachok. On the other hand, from behind, it looked quite like a district lawyer in uniform, its hanging tail being as sharp and long as the flaps of the modern uniform. It was perhaps only by the goat-like beard under its snout and the smallish horn sticking out of its head, and the fact that the whole of it was not wither than a chimney sweep, that one could see it was neither a German nor a district lawyer, but just a devil with one night left to roam the wide world, instructing good people in sin. Tomorrow, when the first bells peal in the morning service, he will tuck in his tail, and without looking back, run straight into his den. Meanwhile, the devil stealthily drew up to the moon, and had already stretched out his hand to seize it, when he suddenly jerked it back as if burnt. Sucking his fingers, he shook his leg and ran to it from the other side, and again jumped away, withdrawing his hand. But, despite his failures, the sly devil did not cease his pranks. Running up to it, he suddenly grasped the moon with both hands. Grimacing and blowing, he kept throwing it from one hand to the other, like a peasant who has taken a live ember with his bare hands for his pipe. Finally, he quickly hid it in his pocket and ran on as if nothing had happened. Nobody in Dikanka heard how the devil stole the moon. It is true that the district scribe, when leaving the pub on all fours, saw the moon dancing in the sky for no apparent reason, and tried on his oath to convince the whole village of what he saw. But the villagers shook their heads and even made fun of him. And why did the devil embark on such lawless business? This was the reason. He knew that the rich Cossack, Chub, had been invited by the deacon to a party after the mass for the dead, which would be attended by the mayor, a relation of the deacon, a bishop's chorister who had arrived in a blue jacket and could sing in the lowest bass, the Cossack, Zverbeguz, and somebody else. There, in addition to the kutvia, would be mulled wine, vodka distilled with saffron, and a multitude of various edibles. Meanwhile, Chubb's daughter, the prettiest girl in the village, would remain at home, and to her would probably go the blacksmith, a very muscular and powerful young man, who was more odious to the devil than the sermons of Father Kondrat. In his spare time, the blacksmith engaged in painting, and was famous as the best painter in the whole neighborhood. Elko himself, the captain of 100 Cossacks, who was alive at that time, had called him to Poltava expressly to paint the deal fence near his house.